If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 John. That's not the 1 John you come to in the Bible, but it is 1 John. It's in front of Revelation, and in front of Jude, in front of John 3, and 2 John. It's 1 John. And turn to 1 John, if you would. And while you're turning there, I want to talk about last week, we talked about love never fails. How many are thankful for that? Say amen. All right. Well, on that note, this is a day which the Lord has made. We will... Amen. All right. You guys, we're almost done with the second month of the year, and you guys still sound pretty exciting, and that's awesome. Because we have to encourage one another. We have to be excited, and sometimes we have to carry the excitement for those next to us that may be a little weary. And we talked about that a few weeks ago. Last week, Valentine's Day, talked about love, the love. We went into the love chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We pointed out what love was not, and what love was, and what love did. No matter who or what you are, if you don't have love, we said you are nothing and it profits you nothing. Big mansion on the hill, if you don't have love, you have nothing. That big mansion is nothing to God. All the money in the bank, if you have not love, it profits you nothing. You are nothing and you have nothing without love according to God. That's a hard thing to remember sometimes. We think it's so simple. But loving others, as we'll talk about today, boy, that is a tough thing to get down to. Remember we talked about, but if you have these things, prophecy, tongues, and wisdom, they will fail, they will cease, and they will vanish. But 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8 reminds us, as we said last week, love never fails. If you remember, I did say, God's love never fails. This is a love that God provides to us. And we talked about, unfortunately, man's love can and will fail at times. Many of you have experienced that failure. Many of you are stuck in a rut because of that failure. Many of you are hurt because of that failure of man's love. But God's love never fails. Lack of love in a relationship, love shared with another person while you were in a relationship with someone else, emotional love shared with others but not you, abusive love, physical and emotional, that was misguided, misdirected, and misapplied. All those things can hurt us with man's love. And when our love fails us, it is from pride. It is from pride that we have inside of us. It's from greed, ignorance, arrogance, lust. Think of the relationships that are ruined due to lust of the flesh. Families torn apart. Husbands and wives torn apart. Kids torn apart. Careers ruined. Families ruined. Futures ruined because of those things. Mental and emotional abuse out of misapplied love. 1 John's going to tell us as we do this in chapter 2 is where we will be. But I want you to write a couple things down. First of all, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. You don't have to turn there. Just write these down if you would. And we talked about it last week. The first two words. And I admitted I glazed over that when I was reading it, looking for a meaning in there. And the first two words said, pursue love. And the translation was, do it quickly. Go after it. Don't just wait for it to fall on your lap, but pursue it. Go after it. Also write down 1 Thessalonians. If you want, you can put T-H-E-S-S. Maybe a little easier. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. And what I want you to do is go back throughout the week, there's a thought in itself. But go back during the week, review those scriptures. Pick one a day to review. And they all say the same thing. Seek and pursue. Pursue peace, pursue love, pursue righteousness. And we talked a couple weeks ago, one of those verses says, seek and pursue this, for without this you will not see the kingdom of heaven. Study those things that it tells you to seek and pursue and how they apply to your life as a Christ follower. So today in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 17 is what we're going to look at first. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. And it says, do not love the world or the things in the world. For if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it is also passing away. But he who does the will of God abides forever. He who does the will of God abides forever. We live forever, and we live in his presence forever. Last week we talked about God's love never failing, and this week we're going to talk about man's love. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. Now pay close attention to that. The love of the Father is not in you. You may know about it. You may hear about it. But it isn't in you and it hasn't soaked in. You can hear about direction all day long. You can say, I get this. I hear it. I see it. I've read it. I know it. But it is not in you. And it's not really in you until you show it and apply it. He who does the will of the Father abides forever. So it goes on to say that we have, well, in this, we have marriages failing. We have all these things failing due to the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. We're talking about, hey, I see that, I want it, I'm going to chase after that. But pride of life, pride gets in the way. And women, I know you're pretty much thinking this is for men. And it usually seems to be with men, but it applies to both men and women. Women these days are told to be strong, independent women. God says, I will show you my strength in your weakness, though. And that doesn't mean we have to do everything by ourselves, and we forget to seek the Father in those things. We think, man, I don't need anybody. I've lost a husband. I've lost this. I've lost that. I don't need anybody. I have brought myself up from the get-go because I lost my mother, my father, my parents growing up. I had to raise myself. I taught myself. I got myself here and there. That's great. God is proud of you for those accomplishments. Do not forget to give him credit for that. You did it because he allowed you to do it. He allowed you to do it. We're going to skip a few pages to 1 John chapter 3, verse 10. 1 John chapter 3, verse 10. I'm going to break this down into a couple little sections. It says, in this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. So if you don't love your brother, the message that he says, hey, you've known this from the beginning. He who does not love his brother is not of God. Thank you. Amen indeed. If you do not love your brother, you are not of God. It goes on in verse 13. It says, do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. I'm trying to see where my young people are. Don't be offended if I gloss past you, older people. Younger people, mostly over here. Donnie will include you in that group. because you're back there on the end of them. Young people, man, we want so much to be loved. We may have lost the love of our parents, of a boyfriend, of a girlfriend. But it says, do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. Sometimes being a Christ follower is a young Christian for the rest of us. But I'm talking about our children in school right now. It's a lonely path to walk. It is a lonely path to walk to be right. And when you come on Wednesday nights and draw together with other believers, that helps give you strength. And helps you know strength in who you are and what you are in Christ Jesus. For we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Let's move on. We'll come back to that. Verse 16 says, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. Eric brought that up in Wednesday night Bible study. He says, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. And then down in verse 23 it says, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandment. It is impossible. It is not possible. We cannot do it. We cannot further the kingdom of God if we cannot or do not love one another. If our hearts are hardened where we cannot love one another with the love of Christ, it is impossible to further the kingdom of God. We can't do it. Loving one another is the very basis of being a Christian and living for Christ and not ourselves. Loving one another. That's in our schools, in our workplace, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our communities. We've talked many times before about our friends across the street, the Buddhist. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandment. We are to love one another across the street, down the street, up the street, the town next to ours, the darker sides of town. We are to love one another. In verse 14, I want to come back to this. Verse 14 says, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. And what that says is, once we love one another and we experience that, we have crossed over from death to life. We are now living. Jesus came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. And we cross from death to life when we love one another. When we crucify the flesh, when we pick up our cross daily, when we renew our mind daily, we pass from the old man to the new man. We pass from death to life. It's a transformation that we actually go through. It's a transformation that we actually experience. And love for one another is the result of that experience. When we transform from the old to the new. when we get what God means about loving one another, those that are less fortunate, those that may not have a house to live in and to go home to at night, the homeless, the hungry, the homosexual, the drug addict, the sex addict, the gambling addict, the alcoholic. We are to love one another. And the question will be, well, what does that look like? Because there's a fine line between acceptance and tolerance of a behavior in a person. But God meets people where they are. He says, but man, I love you too much to leave you there. Because I have this for you and I want you to be here. Verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. We can't just say as Christ followers, as Christians, we love one another. We can't just sing the song, Jesus loves the little children. We have to be the hands and the feet. The video that showed at the very beginning of service talked about that. We are the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. By the way, we're the mouthpiece of Him also. Yikes. What comes out of that sometimes? I think Jesus is looking for a new mouthpiece. Myself included. And I'm working on that. But we can't just say, we love them. We love you. That comes through showing them by our actions or our act. Our actions are proof of that love. You know, in the community of believers, not just this community, but holy, many people have sat for years and years and years in churches. They know about God. They know about His love. But it's that transformation, that crossover experience that they haven't yet met. They haven't experienced crossing over to that new found love that Jesus Christ has and gives you and allows you to share with others. And I think sometimes pride keeps us back from that. Because when you submit to God, I just said it there, you submit. It's that submission that we hate to give control to anyone else but ourselves. We want to hang on to that. We want to be ruler of our life, our direction, our journey, whatever we're going through, and we want to rule that. And it is very hard for us to bow down and submit. Because trusting God is something that says, I trust in something that maybe I've never fully relied or depended on in my life. You can show kindness to others, but for some reason in your household that is difficult. You show love to others, but in the household you can't share that with your spouse or your children or your parents. But you can be as kind as could be to everyone else. But for some reason in the household, you're different. You can be kind to many organizations, but when it comes to the household of God, we want to hold back. I've got plans for my tithe money. It's going to buy me this or that, or take me here or take me there. We do the same thing in church. We hold back. We may hold back to those that are close to us because we've been hurt before. In relationships, I don't want to fully give myself to my spouse because I did that before and I got burned. And so I'm holding back just a little bit. God says, don't hold back. When you trust me and when you live for me, man, I'm going to bless you. But trials came at him when I did it. Yeah, it tells you right in here. As a Christ follower, you will come into contact with trials. I believe we sang a song, Amazing Grace, about that. But we have to submit to Him and give to Him. I don't want to get hurt again, Adam. I don't want to get hurt again. I'm going to tell you, man may hurt you, but when you trust in Christ and He starts to transform your life and the life of your loved one, sometimes through you, it's life-changing. First John chapter 4, verse 21. Well, let's just read 20 and 21. Why hold back? If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar, for he does not love his brother whom he has seen. How can he love God whom he has not seen? But verse 21 says, and this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother. So it sounds like we don't have a choice in the matter. If you love God, you must love your brother. We talked last week about the love of God. We're talking about our love. How can I pour this out? I'll tell you one way. Every time you say something that's inappropriate, that's not necessary, the extra words I talk about, when somebody says something and someone corrects you and you throw in the word, yeah, those type of extras that aren't needed, call those words back and apologize to whoever you sent that to, whoever you said that to. I found myself with my wife this week having to correct myself a few times saying, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. Sometimes we just have to suck it up and say, I'm sorry, because I was wrong. And we have to put that pride away. I don't care if we're the man of the house, the woman of the house, or the only leader of the house. Sometimes we have to put that away. He who loves God must love his brother also. I want to close with a story. Don't turn there, it's in the Bible. But you can write it down. Matthew 26, verse 6 through 13. And when Jesus was in Bethany, at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him having an alabaster flask of very costly fragrant oil. And she poured it on his head, and he sat at the table, as he sat at the table. But when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor. But when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, but me you do not have always. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. Adam, what does that have to do with love? She poured it out. She gave it all. And she held none back. And that's what it has to do with love. She held nothing back. And God says, man, when you have my love, pour it out, give it all, and hold nothing back. You see, you don't have to worry about the reward. You don't have to worry about the thanks. You don't have to worry about the profit from it. Were you obedient to God? Were you obedient to His Spirit? And what He told you to do? Some of you are holding back today. You're holding back love. Stop holding back. You may be holding back tithe money from God. not from me, from God, from the church, to further His kingdom. Stop holding back. You may be holding back yourself today from service, from activities, from loving others, from helping others. I'm tired. I need rest. I work 5-6 days a week. I'm busy. I don't want to commit. Stop holding back. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 through 39, says, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is a first and great commandment, and the second is like it. For you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much today for your word. And we thank you for the love that your Son had for us to lay down his life for us. God, we ask as we studied your love last week compared with our love this week, God, that you would help us to be obedient. Help us to cross over, to experience that transformation when we give up ourself, when we give up the pursuit, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride. Maybe you're here today and you just say, "I need to stop holding back, Adam." Would you just lift your hand and allow us to pray for you? You don't have to come forward. God, thank you. There are lots holding back today. Just raise your hand as we bow our heads. Let us pray for you if you're holding back. Just keep them up for a minute. God, I ask you to bless those that have raised their hand. Thank you. You can put your hands down. God, as we continue praying, Lord, we ask for your power to come into those people, for your boldness to come into those people. God, through submission to you and obedience to you, you would enter those people. God, meet them where they are. God, help us to understand what your love is, what it looks like, how we can demonstrate it, how we can share that love with others. God, would you be with us this week as we go out and face the world, face the challenges of being Christ followers, face the challenges of being reflections of Christ Jesus and His love. Guide our steps, Lord, and keep us from going places we should not go. For your word says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet." Direct our path. God, be with us in our actions, that our actions are through love and kindness. Lord, as we speak, help bridle our tongue when it's out of control. When unkind thoughts pop into our mind that we want to speak. For the witty comments, Lord, that we want to throw at others. Help curb those and hold those back so that we can reflect your love. We reflect you through our words and our actions. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.